I sympathise entirely with those that have been doing this already. It is very strange, very odd to speak to you through a device. But I pray that it be a blessing tonight to each of us. I pray that this will be a time where we truly worship God as we spend this time of devotion together before praying. I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 20 a minute. I appreciate some of you might have read it already, but I'm going to read it whilst we're together, and then we'll spend a few minutes just looking through a few thoughts on that. So let's pray. Let's pray to God. Almighty God, we come to the end of, no doubt, a busy day for many people. But Lord, we thank you and we praise you for giving us this opportunity to come before you, this opportunity to be still, to focus our hearts, to point our hearts towards you. Lord God, we pray that you would bless this time that we spend together now around your word. Lord, I pray that you would take whatever is said that's true, whatever is that's said that's right, and that you would bless it to your people, the saints, and remove anything that isn't. So Lord, we ask for your blessing now upon this time, and we come to you through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, in front of you, let's read Jeremiah chapter 20. When Paul first told me that this was the passage to do, he said it was verse 1 to 18, and I looked at it and thought it was only 18 verses, so I wondered if I was reading it wrong or right. In Jeremiah chapter 20 then, the word of God to Pasha. Jeremiah chapter 20. It's very difficult not knowing if you've all got your Bibles and you've made the right page. I will assume that you're all about to get there. Jeremiah chapter 20. Now Pasha, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pasha struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it happened on the next day that Pasha brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord has not called your name Pasha, but Magor Misabib. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all its produce, and all its precious things, all the treasures of the kings of Judah I will give into the hand of their enemies, who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pasha, and all who dwell in your house, shall go into captivity. You shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die, and be buried there, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. But when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Thus, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labour and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? Just a note to my wife and child listening in the next room. Do you mind turning it down a little bit so that I can't hear you? Thank you. So we come to Jeremiah chapter 20 tonight, and as we've just read, it's quite a difficult passage to read and to hear read. It's not easy to hear those words from Jeremiah. I thought it'd be just worthwhile giving a very, very quick, as is my normal fashion, a 2-minute whistle-stop tour through what we've done on Jeremiah so far. We've had several sessions on Jeremiah so far. Pete Wigley did the last one. We've seen that it's not the easiest book to navigate through, but that doesn't mean that it's not worthy of our attention, as it's God's word. You may recall the backdrop against which we are going through Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called by God to prophesy against terrible sin in Judah, carelessness towards God, poor earthly ruling, false religion, idolatry, and a refusal to repent. Jeremiah was called when godly Josiah was king, but when he was killed, the people then put it in reverse, and they went backwards, and they followed their own hearts rather than the reformation that had begun. We've seen that Jeremiah was to be God's mouthpiece, telling these sinful people of Judah who wouldn't repent that Babylon would soon overpower them and that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And we saw that the time in which Jeremiah was called to prophesy, to faithfully preach, which was 50 years of his life, we read that actually that time was not so different to now. And perhaps as you read through that passage, especially the first 6 verses, perhaps you started to actually feel that. This is just like the world today who refuse to listen when someone speaks loudly truth to them. So tonight we come to quite a difficult passage, as I said, to read. We see the humanity of Jeremiah in this passage. So I've got a brief introduction and then 3 short points and then some application, which I trust will be useful for us in this time of devotion as we seek to worship God in the next little while. So by introduction then, in Roger Ellsworth's introduction in the book that we're sort of using to help us, he talks about fightings within and fears without, to quote an old hymn. And this does sum up Jeremiah's mental state here at the moment. We enter the text at a time when Jeremiah, in chapter 19, which is the chapter between what Pete Wigley covered last time and what we're looking at tonight, we enter a time when Jeremiah has just delivered another really strong pronouncement of judgment on the people of Judah. And I can almost imagine Jeremiah saying to himself and praying even at this point, please, Lord, please let this be the time that they listen. Let this be the time that they turn back to you. Well, as we read in verse 1 then, the hearts of the senior priests remain very hard. And we enter verse 1 and see a lack of repentance, and we see a lack of seeking after God yet again. So that's our brief introduction into what you could term, the term given to this brief session tonight, the roller coaster ride. So, first point, in the stocks. We read about this man, Pasha, who appears to be the head of temple security. His job was literally to restrain, to deal with anyone who, in his opinion, got in the way of temple worship. And this just shows how far the people had fallen, because they couldn't see that Jeremiah was speaking truth. These were priests who should have known the truth. This man, Pasha, orders that Jeremiah should be beaten and put in the stocks. Some people believe that this was more like an old-fashioned rack, so it would have been something to cause real pain, real grief to Jeremiah. It would have been a real burden for him to bear for these hours overnight. that he was put into these stocks. So that is not just a restraint. This is actually making a publicly visible example of Jeremiah. Probably in a bid to discredit what he said. They would have wanted to discredit Jeremiah as being reputable, and so they put him in a really prominent place in these stocks for people to see that this is what happens to people that question our truth that we're telling you, as the priests would say. So this was no small trial for Jeremiah. I think it's important because we're going to come on to looking at Jeremiah's response and his humanity and his human weakness as well, in part. So I think it is important that actually we do just stop and recognise this wasn't a small trial for Jeremiah. So maybe Pasha is there with his arms crossed at this point in time thinking, aha, this will silence Jeremiah and indeed any others who attempted to speak against us, to speak what he considered to be treason. Well, Jeremiah's response was certainly not one of a timid response, was it? Jeremiah's response was that he comes at Pasha with a vengeance, like a roaring lion, you could say. He doesn't just, up until now, the text suggests that he accepted what was going on as God's will, as God's plan, and he's calmly accepting it. And now we read that actually he's got a word from God to speak personally to this man, Pasha. A really interesting point of application just at this point is that the man Jeremiah, the man, may have been bound overnight in these stocks for a time, but the word of the Lord was not. And the word of the Lord was still coming to Jeremiah. And as soon as he's released from the stocks, Jeremiah speaks to Pasha like a roaring lion. And he says, you will see all of your friends die. He would lose everything that he treasured in Jerusalem. And he would be included in that number, going to captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah even told this man, Pasha, that God had changed his name to something that meant fear on every side. So that people would see that following after the ways, or the lies, as we read, of this man would end in disaster for them too. So we firstly then have seen Jeremiah in the stocks, and the God-given response to this man, and indeed then to the others and anyone who would seek to stand in God's way. Jeremiah in the stocks, point one. I'm going to go through this fairly quickly because I do want to get to the last section where we can apply, or try to apply how we can let this impact us. Point number two, from pit to mountaintop and then back again. From pit to mountaintop and then back again. It seems like Jeremiah is rich in faith at this point, doesn't it? He's just delivered, like a roaring lion, this prophecy to Pasha. It seems like he's rich in faith in God at this point. So boldly speaking, Ellsworth helpfully points out to us that outward boldness does not always necessarily equate to a strong inward disposition. It's actually fair to say, and we're going to be looking at this then from verse 7 onwards, that Jeremiah was shattered by this most recent experience. He was really affected by it. It really knocked him. So although it seemed like he was bold, actually, inwardly, he was a shattered man. His faith was undergoing real test. So in verses 7 to 10, we read Jeremiah asking God, why are you not honouring my work? Why are even my friends and those I trust mocking me? Jeremiah almost seems unhappy with God, unhappy for calling him to be a prophet and then not using him, in his mind, of course, thinking that God's not using him. All the while, we can see and we have the rest of the book to teach us. God was very much using him. But in his mind, he's that unhappy, his faith is that weak, that he wishes that he'd never been called or never agreed to being called to be a prophet. Notice in verse 9, Jeremiah says that he wanted to give up. He actually wanted to cease what he was doing, to cease being God's mouthpiece. But then did you notice that we read that God's word so burnt within him that he needed to carry on. He felt the need, the burden, he had to carry on. Oh, to be like that more often is what I thought when I read that. Oh, to be like that more often, where even when we're finding things hard, we still have that burning desire that we can't turn off to serve God. So he's really struggling at this point. And then we come in verse 11 to Jeremiah's strength being momentarily renewed. This was amazing to read after being in the pit. We're now sort of getting to Jeremiah being on a mountaintop. There's a real rally of faith in Jeremiah. He reminds himself that God is mighty, that God is awesome, that God is able to take care of all of his worries and all of his needs, and indeed always has done. And then in verse 13, Jeremiah even bursts into praise of his Yahweh. Unfortunately, we only read on a couple of verses further to read that this rallying cry to himself didn't actually last very long. And we see from verse 14, Jeremiah being very despondent with weak faith. And his humanity really shows through. The weakness from within, the sin from within almost. Unfortunately, then this rallying cry didn't last long. Jeremiah wishes that he had not been born. Such was his despair and depression at that point, from verse 14 onwards. There are similarities here with Job and chapter 3, aren't there? And it's at this point that Matthew Henry would actually have us remember that Jeremiah was just a man. Yes, he was a man chosen by God, equipped by God to speak powerfully, but still a frail, sinful man, just a man. Matthew Henry goes on to say, through the infirmity of the flesh, Jeremiah is agitated within himself. Good men are but men at the best, Matthew Henry says. There was a struggle in his breast between his graces and his corruptions. So we've gone from Jeremiah being in the stocks to boldly proclaiming a personal prophecy against this man, Pasha. Then we've seen Jeremiah from the pit to the mountaintop, and very quickly back down to the pit again. So my third point then for us to just consider is learning from Jeremiah, or more specifically, learning from God's work in Jeremiah. This is a very short point, point number three, before we come on to a few very brief closing points of application for us. Learning from Jeremiah, or learning from God's work in Jeremiah. Firstly then, if ever there was a reminder that the Christian life is difficult, is not easy, not struggle-free, then it's here, isn't it? This is a reminder that the Christian life is not promised to be plain sailing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 in the New Testament says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Philippians 1 verse 29 says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." So the first thing we can learn from God's work in Jeremiah is we're not promised, when God promises to come and dwell in us, we're not promised that that's going to be easy. We're not promised that that's going to be a walk in the park, so to speak. Secondly, what can we learn from the life of Jeremiah and God's work in Jeremiah from this chapter? Jeremiah was not afraid to pour out his heart before God, to God, in prayer. He obviously had that really close relationship with God that he felt so at ease to pour out his heart, the real deep contemplations and concerns and worries of his heart to God. Notice that he doesn't tiptoe around God. He speaks really honestly. He realised that God isn't fragile and that God wasn't going to break at him pouring out his heart. That doesn't mean that God wouldn't have wanted him to have stronger faith, and for us all to have stronger faith. But it's really helpful, I think, to see that Jeremiah knew how to pour out his heart to God in prayer. So that's our three brief points, which I hope has just helped give you a little bit more of an understanding of chapter 20. So what can we say then by way of conclusion or application to us all at home in our Christian life, in our Christian walk with our God and with our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Following God, firstly, first point of practical help. Following God will test our faith. Faith is not always constant. It will fluctuate, unfortunately. Satan will attack us. At times we may doubt, we may feel weak. But I was having this conversation actually with someone else the other day. Little faith is still faith. Little faith is still faith. Can I take you back to Matthew Henry for a moment? He says this, as long as we see ourselves in the way of God and duty, so in God's work, it is weakness and folly when we meet with difficulties and discouragement in it to wish we had never set out in it. Quite harsh, piercing words to read from Matthew Henry. Can I read that again? As long as we see ourselves in the way of God and duty, it is weakness and folly when we meet with those difficulties and discouragements in it to wish that we had never set out in it. We've spoken as a church, even recently, haven't we, about remembering to keep our eyes fixed on heaven and remember the prize that awaits those faithful saints. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So firstly then, by way of practical application, following God will sometimes test our faith. Following the ways of God, following the way that he asks us to walk. Secondly, a bit more short, there will be times when we are called to take firm stands. Pastor Thomas has spoken about this recently. To be more like a roaring lion than a cute panda bear. There was a time for Jeremiah to really speak out against Pasha for his treatment. And there probably will be times in each of our lives when we're called to take a firm stand for our God. That's the second point of practical application. The third point of practical application, I think this is really important actually. When we think of Jeremiah being God's herald and going through times of real soul searching, real troublesome thought times, we should remember our pastor and indeed pastors up and down the country, because they will undoubtedly experience these moments as 21st century heralds of God and heralds of God's word. So we should remember our pastors. We should pray for God's servants who faithfully speak and herald the truth of the Bible, because they are susceptible to feel perhaps the same as Jeremiah, to feel despondent, to have moments of real doubt. To have moments of despair, perhaps. And moments where they perhaps cry out to God like Jeremiah. So we must remember then to pray for our pastor, because he will undoubtedly have 21st century versions of this. Fourthly and lastly, by way of hopefully practical application, how lovely is it to have the New Testament in our hands and to see Jesus, the very Son of God, come down to earth. To see that although he was tested and tortured more than Jeremiah, he prevailed. He didn't waver. He conquered Satan. He conquered death. How amazing and how lovely it is then to know that our Saviour, Jesus, prevailed for us, and we walk in that same way that he has set before us. So my final words, give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute, our Saviour, in whose strength we can soldier on in this life. I'm sure there's more that could have been said about this chapter. I'm sure that smarter men than I could have really drawn things out of Jeremiah's pleading and prayer to God, but I thought it'd be useful to get to the point where we could have some practical applications, and I hope that's how that's come across. And as I prayed at the beginning, I pray that God will take what's been useful and help us to remember only that. Shall we pray? Almighty God, we thank you for this opportunity to read your word, opportunity to focus on it, the opportunity to see what you had written down for us in this book of Jeremiah, these seasons from his life, And Lord, perhaps it would be too easy to look at Jeremiah and almost condemn him for this weak faith. But Lord, we have no idea how we would have responded in the same situation. Lord, perhaps we respond the same way to lesser trials in our own lives. So Lord, we ask for your help to walk our Christian life. Lord, we ask for your help to stand firm, your help to withstand Satan, your help to soldier on. Lord, we ask for the blessing of courage to be bold, to speak and to be like a roaring lion at times. Lord, we ask for you to remind us ever that we are walking in the way our Saviour first went. Lord, I pray that this might have been a blessing to each of our souls to just think through this passage, Lord, and may it prompt us to faithful service to you, our God and our King. So we bring this our thanks and we ask for your blessing through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.